The question was asked, how is one supposed to do tshuva, let's say, for turning on a light on Shabbat, if when one analyzes the prohibition of turning on a light on Shabbat, one discovers that there are varying opinions as to what's wrong with turning on a light on Shabbat. Which prohibitions did one do when turning on a light on Shabbat? So it's important to recognize that Judaism is a system. Chukat HaTorah, the way of life of the Torah. Zot Chukat HaTorah, this is the way of life of the Torah. There's a way of life. And 99% at least, if not 99.9, of the Torah, there's no arguments on. It's true that when you open Talmud, you get an impression that everything's an argument. Everything's a machloket. Right? The more you study halacha, the more you feel like everything's a machloket. Rav Soloveitchik was fond, this is what Rav Hershel Schachter says, that he was fond of showing how in every machloket, the disagreement is over a specific nuance of the halacha, whereas 99% of what's relevant, everyone agrees on. Their argument is on a very, very specific point. And if you analyze Talmud, you'll see that that's very true. It's important to recognize that everyone agrees. Today, everyone agrees you're not allowed to use electricity on Shabbos. There's no orthodox opinion today.
There were rabbis in the past.
I said today.
I know.
Okay. We believe that the system of halacha is guided by heaven's hand. If part of what we believe is that the system we're living with, that it was guided that way. Now, this has halachic relevance in many cases.
I mentioned this to the rabbi. I discussed it with him on there, and I said, I can understand for the reason of not separating yourself from the community. I can understand it. But if I'm alone in the middle of nowhere, I'm like, really, it's...
I didn't say about separating yourself from the community. What I'm saying is something very different. I'm saying the halachic system, we believe, is guided. It's not just a random vote, for example. We have to pause for a minute. So we believe that the evolvement of halacha is something that's guided. It's not a coincidence. It's not just a numbers thing. The majority vote was this way.
What is the... there's Torah law, there's, you want to say, okay, the Sanhedrin, you know, also added to that, okay, then you got, okay, you know, more stuff, I guess Gemara kind of, then you get, you know, all the minhags, and now you come up to very present, you know, what is the actual prohibition, you know, like, how... You know, what is that? You know, what do you say? Like, I'm sorry for breaking the... Because rabbis nowadays agree that it's wrong.
But could I interject?
What's... You know, that's my main thing. Sure. If you want to go by one opinion, he says, okay, it's fire. I just cannot... I cannot hold that. I mean, I just can't. It seems ridiculous to me. When you touch something,
when you're talking about that it's a decision guided by God, how would you explain that Mishnah that Shammai of Hillel, and it was like a terrible day, and Hillel said something, and Shammai said, be quiet, I'm going to make that a sur too. Because how would he be able to make it a sur if it's not guided by God?
Let me ask you a question, Ari. If we take a stone and put it in a fire, and the stone becomes red hot. And then we take the stone out of the fire. What you have is a stone that's hot. And then you crack an egg on that stone. And you cook the egg on that stone. Is that prohibited?
Probably. You're not allowed to cook, but it says you're really not allowed to heat up the metal to cook. Or, I mean, you can't make a fire and then heat up metal to cook. Or.
It happens to be that a person would get the death penalty because it's an issur d'oraisa to cook on something that's been heated up, what's called in the Talmud toladot ha'ur. So you see that our definition of cooking is not necessarily what we might think. We would think cooking is by a fire, and yet the Talmud says that cooking is not only by a fire. If you use something that was heated by the fire, it's a biblical prohibition. Let's go to a story. The Talmud says an Arab once said to Rabbi Akiva, "I know where the entrance to hell is." He said, "There's this pit where at the bottom of the pit is perdition." Rabbi Akiva said, "How do you know?" He said, "I'll show you." So he took a long stick, and at the edge of the stick he put a piece of wool. And he got the wool wet and he stuck the stick down the pit. And when he pulled it back up, the wool came out scorched. So he said to him, "This is another story." He said,
"I know where Korach is."
Right, I know where Korach is. So let's imagine for a second that we have an Arab that tells us, "I know where the entrance to perdition is." And instead of putting down there your piece of wool to check out if he's right, you say, "That would be very cool if I could roast a chicken by the coals of perdition and eat that for Shabbos." So you take a chicken and you stick it on to the edge of your... a shechted chicken, yes? You stick it on to the edge of your staff and you put it down that pit and it comes out... well done. Did you transgress Shabbos? Biblically? Rabbinically? I'm asking a question. What?
Why did you not stir the coals?
You just cooked by the fire of perdition.
That's in Gemara, though, because they talk about you can't even put your pot of food in the sink.
That's rabbinic.
I know it's rabbinic.
But I'm telling you that this is biblical. So you see, but the definition of cooking is not what we would necessarily think. You think the fire in perdition is a fire made of coals? They have people whose job it is to go and bring more coals and more firewood. That's what's going on down there? Our body's going to go there? I thought perdition is a spiritual place.
Is there Gemara about that? That they bring the wood and burn the bodies?
Yeah, is that to be taken literally?
Is this to be taken literally?
I'm talking to you literally, yes.
Saying about the hole in perdition and sticking.
Yes. Surprise! The Talmud says that the whatever. I don't want to go into that whole piece of Talmud, but when you learn the story of the people of Tveria and the way they were able to heat up water over there, in that discussion, the Talmud goes into if you were able to heat up water by the fire of perdition. So again, before we're quick to assume that we understand the Torah's definition of an action, I think we can say we'll learn and we'll understand.
I read the rabbis of even
what?
One, they don't have a consensus. If it was so clear, they would say this is the rule that it violates. But that's not the case.
Okay.
So I'm saying... even if you, like, what are you supposed to do? Take one opinion and just say, okay. I mean, how can you repent of something you don't know why it's wrong? Are you just supposed to take one opinion and say, okay, I'm going to follow that?
So I think that it breaks down into three components. If what we're discussing is repenting, so then the fact that this has become the accepted halachic opinion gives it halachic validity. Now, when a person says, Ribon Shalom, I'm sorry I did it, am I saying I'm sorry I did a biblical prohibition, like Chazon Ish, Rav Mordechai Elio, Rav Moshe Feinstein, am I saying that if there was no filament, there was no heat element, so then It was a rabbinic prohibition like Rav Shlomo Zalman. No, I'm not sure I have to go down that road. I'm saying, I know I shouldn't have done it, and I feel bad I did it. I know you gave us the Torah, you gave us the biblical prohibitions, you gave us the responsibility to listen to the rabbinic prohibitions, and I know that I did one of them, whichever one I did, so I still feel bad I did it. I don't think we need a delineation right now. When it comes to punishing a person, there the Talmud says, you can't punish him unless you and he both know exactly why what he did was wrong. So you're right that a court wouldn't be able to punish a person for turning on a light on Shabbos. Because you wouldn't be able to know. You don't know what's wrong. He doesn't know what's wrong. You know what's wrong. You're not sure which prohibition. But that doesn't change the fact that a person who did it also knows what he did is wrong. And vis-a-vis his creator, when he's ready in his growth, that's something to do tshuva for.
Say sorry for what you did. Like, don't we have to know the reason?
If I know it's prohibited, but I'm not sure why, I'm not sure if it's because it's a fire or it's creating something new. I'm not sure if it's bone or resh.
How do you know it's any?
So that goes back to the system. That the system obligates us. If a person were to wake up today and say, I think you have to slaughter fish. I'm not going to eat fish anymore from the start. I'm going to buy my fish fresh. I'm going to get a shechita knife and shecht my fish. So we would say that someone who's reform doesn't only have to be more lenient. He's reforming the Torah because he wants to be more stringent, but it's still a reformation of our tradition.
Tradition.
And the tradition is the system, not only the details.
Well, what if Ashkenazi person follows Mizrahi? Does he have to repent because he said the wrong words?
That's a broader discussion, you see. We have to understand where the different customs come from.
Some of the rabbis didn't say it was necessarily wrong.
So that's why I began with explaining that we are obligated to the system that's evolved. A person can't wake up today and say, I heard Rav Yossi Aglili held you're allowed to eat chicken with milk. So I'm going to have a cheese sandwich like Rav Yossi Aglili. The halacha is a system. It's not only opinions. There is a bottom line which is achieved by the Jewish people at large. The Jewish people at large, every Jew agrees you're not supposed to turn on a light on Shabbos. There isn't an observant Jew today that says differently. There isn't an observant community or an observant rabbi who says differently today.
Some of them. I mean, it's argument how religious the conservatives are, some of them.
I don't think so. I don't think that's an argument. I don't think there's anyone who's studied this topic who really has.
The majority of Jews don't follow the custom and stuff. I'm just saying, when you get into the question of minhag and tradition, it's a religious argument to say.
No, there are things that the observant Jewish people have accepted. You want to bring me examples of people who are not observant to, they don't do, what can I do? They're being misled by their leaders, what can I do? I don't hold it against them because I don't think they know any better. But to tell me that a person who's going with a system that believes that the tenets of the Torah are not true, and to tell me that I have to factor them in understanding what the Jewish people do, there's any logical validity to that.
There's reason to not use election. That's not what I said. I said, how do you do repentance if you don't know which one's wrong and to accept something that, seems wrong, just on the basis that it was accepted based on, incorrect, things. Maybe it's divine direction, but, I don't think they understood it, in 100 years ago, to be honest. I'm an electrical engineer. I don't think they understood the concept of what electricity in a wire is.
Okay, so I sat for a year with an electrical engineer studying the laws of electricity on Shabbos. But an electrical engineer I'm just saying, he's...
Okay, but you didn't tell me why. You said you have different opinions, so there you go. There's no consensus.
I'm not sure why we're going in circles. You're telling me there's no consensus, and I'm telling you that if there's a consensus that it's wrong, then that, from our perspective, is wrong. You're saying, but we don't know why, and I'm saying there are different opinions as to why, but the fact that the Jewish people accept it is wrong makes it halacha.
No, so my question was, if to repent, don't you have to know what you did wrong?
No, sometimes I can say, I don't know. I know the rabbi said it's prohibited, whether the reason is because it's this reason or that or the third, I don't know. We blow shofar every Rosh Hashanah. Why are we blowing shofar? Because the Torah said to blow shofar. But what's the reasoning behind, I don't know why the Torah said it.
So that's fine if the Torah says it, but you don't know if the Torah says it.
You're saying two different questions. Is it that I don't know if the Torah said it, or is it that I'm not sure which of the prohibitions it is? If you're saying I don't know that the Torah said it, so you'll study Bezrat Hashem. You'll learn why we respect the rabbinic tradition and the rabbinic interpretation. If the point is, within the rabbinic tradition, I don't know which one it is, give us a second, Daniel. So then, that's, I don't always know which one it is. That's true. There are a lot of things I don't always know.
You need to know what you did wrong to do full repentance?
No. I know that I'm not supposed to do it, whether it's biblical or rabbinic. I leave it to God. I don't know if it's biblical or rabbinic. I bemet don't know. I don't know. I'm saying, are we going like Chazonish of Mordechai Leo, Rav Shlomo Zam? I don't know. I don't have a court that will rule, but I do know that the Jewish people have accepted that opinion and not the other opinion, so that makes it halacha.
We have different traditions around the world.
But no one who is observant of Torah, mitzvot, and tradition is saying that you're allowed to turn on a light on Shabbos. That doesn't exist. That means that, like it says in the Rambam, when the Jewish people accept something, that gives it the weight of the high court giving that ruling. The Jewish people accepted this. Whether it's they accepted it as biblical or rabbinic on a fluorescent light, I don't know the answer to that. But that I can't do it, I know I can't do it.
So is it the same level that we all have to wear suits now?
I don't think the observant world has accepted upon themselves to wear suits. Look around you, there are plenty of people who are observant. You can't compare that to turning on a light. You won't find an observant person who says, yeah, I could turn on a light. You will find many observant people who don't wear suits.
And
no one says that wearing a suit is a mitzvah.
Well, to follow tradition.
That's a totally different question. You're turning on a light, everyone agrees, is asur on Shabbos. It's a part of the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. Biblical or rabbinic. Wearing a suit, no one says is a mitzvah.
Okay.